Michael Jordan would not have any chance against LeBron James. LeBron James would just go stand on the block and say, pitch it down to me, and Michael Jordan would be helpless.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yeah, that was from a conversation we had last week on DDFP. And you know what? Actually, we can continue that one.
So hot, I want to take my headphones off. The take is so hot, I feel like I have to take my headphones off.
You don't think LeBron would annihilate Jordan in one-on-one?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. I don't like this new
who
attitude.
Who the hell knows? Who knows?
I love all the cools who talk about
I'm not sports. Being a cool. Am I? Who knows?
Patrick Claibon, another colleague who's a curmudgeon, like Matt Money Smith, whose voice you hear there. I love that people are above hypothetical.
I'm not above it. I just don't. I don't. That's what I don't get.
You don't think LeBron James would whip Michael Jordan?
I don't know.
I don't think it would be a whipping.
I think he would
whip.
How did you come to that conclusion?
I'll tell you how. Because long ago, back in like, I don't know, 80, 81, 82, and you can actually find visual evidence of this, I think, on YouTube or at least somewhere out there on the www. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Dr. J once played a one-on-one game on pay-per-view, which seems crazy. I don't know who paid for it at the time, but it sounds fascinating. And apparently Kareem annihilates Dr. J.
Kareem is 7'1".
Okay.
Dr. J is 6'4".
He's not 6'4".
Yes, he is. He's Dr. 6'6". J is 6'4".
Is that right? Oh, yeah. I always thought he was 6'6". All right.
Michael Jordan is 6'6.5". LeBron James is 6'8".
He's more like 6'9". Anyway, listen, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all is well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66, we're already ready to roll. Coming up in a little bit, as the draft draws ever closer down in Dallas, Texas, there's a lot of stuff going on in free agency, trade, so on and so forth. And one of the guys who figures to go in the first round, Leighton Vander Esch, a delightful guy who we kibitzed with already. We're going to play that for you in just a minute here. A nice fella. And we get him mentally right.
All right, Julius Serbian, 6'7".
6'7"?
Yeah, I always thought he was smaller with like a giant wingspan.
Well, I mean, why so demanding about your side of it? Oh, nope, 6'4". You shame me out of my opinion.
That's how you do it.
That is right.
That's
right.
How you do it. Take note, kids. But I am always one to quick to go back and say, you know what? But that was Julius's thing. He was 6'7", but he had like a 7-foot wingspan, because that was the big thing with Irving, was how long his freaking arms were that made him a truly special player, much like Elgin Baylor.
All right, well, he was 6'7".
Still, though, 7'1" is all right.
And by the way, LeBron outweighs Michael Jordan by what? Yeah, but 30 Jordan's pounds, 40
strong
pounds?
As a freaking bull. Okay. I mean, always regularly well,
so
cited
James.
As the strongest guy.
Anyway, we're going to talk with the
you
boys.
You said he'd
from-
whip him.
I don't know when we're going to do this, but it's great news for Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. We're going to catch up with the Mixtape Boys from Barstool, who I visited their podcast a few months ago, and they're going to return the favor. We have much to kibitz about. You know, we have to talk about the status of Tom Brady. And also, who would win? I know we've done variations on this before. Before I jump into this, let me go around the wheel here. Who's joining us in Studio 66? You just heard his voice. He's one half of the finest radio show in all the land. You can track that one down. AM 570 if you're in Los Angeles. Otherwise, go on iHeartRadio. The Petros and Money Show. It's Matt Money Smith. Enough. We have way too much to get to.
Way
you can't
much.
Hear a full
way
a full thing here. And by the way, Mazel Tov, I guess you did an honorable deed. You ran a long distance in the name of charity.
I did.
Name the charity. That's the headline.
Yes. He is far too humble, a superstar, but he is a true superstar. He is the best offensive player on your National League champion Los Angeles Dodgers, Justin Turner.
And he has a bald spot, which is interesting.
Yes.
He has long, lush red hair, except that not unlike the man whose voice you're listening to right now.
A little thin there.
He's got a little flesh yarmulke. He's got that flesh yarmulke. I can help him with that. I have some tips.
Oh, yeah? What are they?
Do they make the pepper that you put on your
in
head?
Red. In red. I know. Red. I don't know if they make the
– I mean, it is orange.
You could do it with, like, cumin or something
there you
like
go.
That.
Wonder if they do ginger. Otherwise, yeah, cumin might have to be the way to go. Anyway, yeah, Justin Turner
has a foundation here in town. He helps get homeless vets off the streets, and he helps families who have children that have incurred major medical expenses, helps pay those bills.
That's cool.
So he asked, I've done this a couple times now, if I would run half the marathon. His wife ran the second half. I ran the first half. We raised money for charity, and we ended up pulling in about $38,000, I think.
Wow.
Is what we
holy
did.
Heaven.
Yeah,
holy
so
that's
pretty
amazing.
Great.
And, that is great.
Yeah, if you want to go, why, just, go ahead.
Why only half?
I guess that's the way they do the charity. Right. The,
oh, yeah,
charity
I'm sure.
Runs.
I'm sure they would turn you down if you said, let me do 26.2. Nope. I can't do it.
I will not do whole marathons anymore. I used to. And
you did?
I did, yeah. I used to run marathons.
I didn't know that.
I did. Yeah, I ran marathons. And the difference between half and full is full, you have to train.
It's literally half.
You truly have to train. Like, you have to run 20 miles on a Saturday, and then the following Wednesday run 18 miles.
To what end?
The following Saturday.
To what end?
So you're not completely destroyed by mile
18. To what end run 26.2 miles on purpose? By the way, the guy also, we should say hello to him too quickly. Yes, a man who has not shadowed the door here in Studio 66 for far too long. From London, England, he is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. He's giddy with enthusiasm about, yes, Ndamukong Suh out the door, but in comes Brock Osweiler. It's Handsome Hank.
Oh,
that's awesome, Handsome. Congratulations.
Hey, let's stop this.
He's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How have you been?
I've been very well, thank you, Dave.
Oh, yeah?
All right, continue. I want to catch up with you, Handsome. Okay. But, yeah, well, we've got all the BO, like the hot BO takes that you got on Brock Osweiler. You know, it's exciting.
You were talking about money off free runs.
So was I. I was like, you know, it's interesting. I don't
weird
get the
thing
BO.
To,
I am very fortunate. I don't. Right. I don't.
You don't get the BO.
No.
Not ever.
I sweat, but I don't for
you
whatever
don't
reason. The
you know what I've never had?
What are they called? Pheromones?
Always
like
comes
whatever's
up smelling
producing.
Of roses.
Yeah. I've never had a stink on my foot. You know?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm also. Yeah. My wife has horribly smelly feet.
Really?
Yes.
You should never.
And she passed
ever
it along to one of my three daughters. I get nothing.
One of your three daughters.
One of my three daughters has tear when she would come off my oldest. She would come off the the lacrosse field and just kick her spikes off in the car. And be like, what the hell? Roll down all the windows, and the wife gets upset. She's like, it's not me. It is you, because it's not me. Let's take our shoes off, and let's have a little smell off and see who it is. So,
passed it down.
Yeah, she passed it down. My middle and my youngest, thankfully.
They got the
good
genes.
They got the Smith side of things. Right. Yeah.
That's
to them.
So you ran 13.1.
13.1.
Please just tell me at least this. You're going to have the dignity not to put a 13.1 sticker on your car.
When I was running the full marathons, no 26.2, certainly no 13.1. I think if I were the ultra guy and I'm running 50 miles, all right, I'm going to put that in your face. I'm going to put in your face that I could run 50 miles. Other than that, I think.
Well, but the
how far do you
people
think
say, but that's an achievement. I finished
like,
20.
If you –
that
like,
this is a much better conversation. If like,
how far do we think you could run?
Me?
Yes.
Like right now,
could he run a five? Like, let's just set it low. Let's set it low as a 5K.
Right
Dave,
now,
right now, go out there and complete a 5K. And by run, I mean you've got to run it in.
You can't stop.
30 minutes. You got to run at least at 6 miles per hour. That's kind of your standard.
I used, I mean, now, I mean, this isn't fun, but since I hurt my back 6 or 8 months ago, I really have not been able to do anything. It's terrible. I've fully transitioned.
I understand, like at your age, there's no expectation that you'd be able to run.
But as recently as three years ago, I would have done that easily. I could certainly do that. I know.
So take the back. Let's just take the back injury off the table.
Yes.
So you can do a
5K. I definitely.
10K.
10K.
6.2.
I would come. I mean, at a nice
6.2 in an hour. I want it done in an hour.
Yeah, I could have done that. Okay. Yeah, I definitely really? Could have done that. I used to run at my best when I really was like, let's see how long I can run. I would run 8 miles okay. in like 70 minutes or something right. like that. What's
can
that?
Can we just pretty check good. In behind the glass?
70, 72 minutes.
These guys are looking a little incredulous.
I don't
back
think
there.
You could run
Emma,
1 mile.
Emma, I don't think you knew Dave when he was young. So
I don't that, you think know, you could run 1 mile.
She wasn't born when I
yeah,
was young.
Exactly.
Right?
True.
But what do you think would be Dave's maximum?
I don't think he can run 1 mile.
I mean, that's
he would stop halfway through.
That's absurd.
And then he'd finish. He'd be like, "Oh, I finished it," but no, like you didn't. I don't think he could run a full mile.
Are we talking right now? Right now?
Right, right now?
His we back. Said, if we if he took injury, the headphones
I,
off,
I 100%.
His
could.
Back injury was devastating.
I
he came hey, in. Look, the guy got a backiotomy. He's came not in supposed to
the,
run.
No, he came in the office. He was like trying to sit in the chair, and he was like, he had a whisper, and he was like, "Oh, this hurts so bad." And he was like, just like stiff.
I could not.
And he could
but
not
you
move.
Wait till you get to his age. And
I'm not
get,
blaming
you
him.
Right.
I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying it would be. I think you do a 5K now.
Come
I mean,
on.
Even with the back? Just,
I mean, well, I mean, it goes too far.
He could walk.
MVP goes too far. I could go out and run a mile right now. I could definitely
Let's do it.
Well, I legitimately, I know that this is the equivalent of saying, like, I have a girlfriend in the Niagara Falls
yes,
area, but if I
did,
there
are no phones.
It just wouldn't be worth, it wouldn't be worth the ensuing 10 days of me having to be prone in the middle of the day and having to get Vicodin'd up and everything. It just wouldn't be worth it to prove MVP wrong.
God, I think it's, okay. I think it's a great cause. I think it's a great cause, especially when you are prone.
You
and someone
do.
Says, why are you laying there? MVP challenged me to run a mile. Yeah. And,
let's do a sponsored 1 mile run for Dave.
Yeah. I like
and you
that
can't
idea.
Do what Money didn't just give up halfway through and just say that'll do.
I know.
You've got to get the whole mile.
I know.
How dare that, you?
I will
that's how they want it. I like Money. I like Money's story.
Listen,
I like Money's story that, hey, wanted to go.
I wanted to go the whole way, but they just said, right, you stop
when that finish line is set up right there at the Griddle on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood.
Ooh, you went to the Griddle.
As soon as I finished, Justin Turner waiting for me with a high five and a giant stack of banana pancakes for me to just mow down.
Griddle, pro tip for anyone visiting Los Angeles, go to the Griddle there in
Delicious.
Hollywood. Yeah, I mean, well, it's basically just big desserts
yeah,
disguised
yeah, get those
in the shape
pancakes.
Of pancakes, right. but they're desserts. Right.
But, yeah, so you go think... in real quick. You go in to finish, and just the people that are running the full, and they're laboring, and they're looking at you, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm done, and they just kind of give you this look of you SOB.
I agree.
Good luck. Good luck with the
Have
second
a good time. I'm going
to
get some pancakes here.
And then what about the double whammy? So, one, they don't get to quit. They're only halfway done while they now have images of you eating fanciful treats.
Yeah, I cross the finish line and just run straight into the door at the Griddle.
But then
I don't even break straight.
They also have to be raw at the people who pick up where you left
even
off,
so.
And they're crossing the actual finish line. Do
yes.
they get the whole?
Oh yeah,
they get the whole fanfare. They get
yes,
to go
they
through the wire thing, or
get
like
the metal put around their neck,
the crepe paper
yes.
finish line, and they break it and they get to celebrate. Like, wait a second, this guy only did half.
Yep. That's those
There's
are people
not
that
a
really
separate
get it.
Finish line for those people.
There
it should
is.
Be like a right. sideline. Like, okay,
I
these
agree.
Guys only ran half.
I'm with you 100%.
And by the way, the 26.2 people, unless you're running it at a professional level pace, it's a weird thing to honor yourself with that sticker. I don't put a sticker on the back of my car that says I've played golf. I mean, like, you know, like the what's the distinction? Hey, I've played basketball. Hey, you know, like that's basically what you're saying. Not an acknowledgement. When you put the 26.2, you're not saying I did it in two hours and 25 minutes. No, I just did it. I did it.
Dave, I think that's a little
I swung a golf club.
It's quite
before.
An accomplishment.
It is quite
an accomplishment.
When
I
you,
made it 18
when you've run
holes.
Your 1 mile,
yes.
When you've run your 1 mile, you can start throwing daggers at the people.
As a man who ran 8 miles and was promoting his running prowess, imagine multiplying that by three, and now you still have to run
Wait
two
a
more.
Second. Hold on a second.
What?
I was to go back 4 minutes. I was honoring my running prowess by
you
saying
were.
I ran.
Yes, you were like, listen.
I
back when
responding.
I was running, I was doing 8 miles.
See, this is where things get sideways. All right, we have a lot to catch up on here. We have a lot to look forward
this
to.
This is what always happens.
I know, it's true. One thing I want to bring up is, first of all, over the weekend, this is a long-standing issue for me. We have a lot. I want to talk about all these brackets are everywhere. This has been in actually. I've been snarky about everybody doing their silly brackets around March Madness.
I'm so over it.
Best cereals, best soups, all that jazz. All right, fine. But this year's batch has actually produced some gems, and I thought the
This is the batch from where?
This year, 2018.
Oh, I see. Just looking around, the
there have been a couple that have actually caught my eye. I know Eddie Spaghetti, I'm sure, was fascinated by the Pearl Jam one, best Pearl Jam song. I like the Disney Pixar movie.
You can
one.
Fill out 64 Pearl Jam songs.
Yeah, easily. Chris Long actually was one that was like taking charge of that one.
And he filled it out.
60. They have.
Come on.
They have 10 studio albums.
64 Pearl Jam songs
and covers. That's plenty of songs.
Feels like.
And what does it always end up at? What is it? What ends up being the winner?
It's just any song, any.
I mean, it's probably going to be Jeremy. It's pretty hard to knock off Jeremy, right?
Actually, what is the? I would hope it's not Jeremy.
It's just the popular songs from the first three albums. None of the stuff after Vitalogy ever really.
That's
holds
my sense
up.
Of. That's what my I mean. Sense of Pearl Jam is that they willfully
they sabotage themselves with No Code, the fourth album.
You don't know any of their songs, no, and let yeah.
No Code and Yield, their fourth and fifth albums are so good. I like them more than the first three.
Yeah, but that's just because you're being a cool.
Pearl Jam hipster. It's a different sound. Like they just it's more versatile.
I like the Disney Pixar one, although there were some major omissions. It was weighted poorly. There's a region of death that just is unreal. I mean, like five of my favorites of all time are all in one region. It's dumb. But anyway, I'm sure you've seen that if you're on social media at all. I have an idea for a good one too. Maybe we'll have time for that. First though. A long-standing issue for me has been that isn't it weird, Money? In fact, what brought it back to the fore of my brain was I saw you tweet that your Chargers, of course, Matt Money Smith, the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers, got a new kicker. Who is it?
Caleb Sturgis.
I thought it was Caleb Sturgis. Yeah.
C. Sturge.
So C. Sturge is now your kicker.
The Sturge daddy.
Yeah.
And And, of course, you celebrate that because as anybody who paid attention to pro football over the last 8 months or so knows that the Chargers were playoff bound if their rookie kicker had made a couple of kicks in the first 2 weeks.
They had just had an adequate kicker.
Right.
Not even an elite kicker, an adequate kicker.
But it's not just like the last 8 months. I mean, this seems to have been a Chargers issue for
a couple of years now.
It's true.
Since the days of Nate Caden.
But it's interesting.
Nick Novak was pretty good. Nick Novak was all right.
Fair enough.
So but it's been like 4 years.
In a way, isn't it fair that we know that that's the case? In a way, it kind of has become NFL-level place kicking is sort of the equivalent of figure skating, which is to say the only ones you notice at this point are the ones who miss. Same as figure skating, you see them fall, and that's what stands out to you. In the same way, kickers now all standardly. It's not, you know, Justin Tucker, Chris Boswell, whoever you would hold up as the best in the game in 2017. Matt Bryant, 40-something year old guy of the Falcons, was 8 for 8 over 50 yards in 2017, which is remarkable, except for the fact that a lot of those guys, I'd say 2/3 of them, conservatively, make more 50-plus yard kicks than they miss over the course of a season. So, doesn't that – I don't know. I don't want to go so far as to say it corrupts the integrity of football strategy as we know it, but isn't it warped from what it was 30 years ago? It's so weird that guys – I mean, go way back to the early 60s. They were position players largely, the guys who did the kicking. Paul Hornung, the golden boy.
Yeah, he was a kicker.
Of Notre Dame, and then the Green Bay Packers, the world champion Green Bay Packers, was their place kicker. And 1 year he made 1/3 of all his field goal attempts. It's crazy. He missed 20-something or 25 field goals, and he made – obviously, if you do the math on that, maybe 10 or so of the kicks did go through. It's weird that now you can run a guy out there
from 55 yards and be like, yeah, he's probably going to make it.
So I floated that on social media.
Shall I read the tweet?
Go ahead.
This is what you said. This is what the NFL needs. Field goals are too easy for today's kickers. The sport wasn't supposed to have guys making 55 yarders with ease. I say kickers should have to play at least 3 plays from the line of scrimmage. How say you, Al Riveron?
Yeah, see, so obviously if I'm tweeting at the guy, Right, the head of officiating. Right. I don't think Al Riveron's going to
engage
a serious-minded right. response.
I'm not sure
to,
he was the best person to try to bring into this.
Right,
carry on.
Serious-minded response to my whimsy.
Right.
Is it should indicate that I was
yes.
I was you half kidding about yeah. the my resolution to it, but still the undercurrent. Then
you got a response.
Yes,
from the best kicker in the NFL.
If that's what you want to call him, all right. I think,
Justin
I think,
Tucker,
I, in
the
fact,
Baltimore Ravens.
Brian Baldinger told me this about a year ago, and I was skeptical, and then I looked into it. I said, hard to refute. Really, he is. Justin Tucker isn't the best kicker in the NFL now. He's the best kicker
ever.
Of all time.
Yeah,
he's
probably.
The best kicker in.
But I mean, to your point, kickers are getting better. He's the best kicker now. He's there.
Well, Justin Tucker, somehow I guess I did.
You upset
I was
him.
I didn't take
you
enough
poked
care.
The bear, huh? You poked the bear.
I didn't yeah. try to poke anything. I apparently didn't take enough care in my
right.
phrasing because it made it sound like
yeah,
something.
55 yarders are easy to make.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. And I think, what was this, like a Saturday morning?
Yes.
I feel like you were
easy
probably
for these guys is
right.
the point.
You were probably sitting on your sofa and
no, he's lying prone.
Yeah, that's right. First to rest his back.
Taking care of
what did
he just
Justin
ran
Tucker
half a mile.
Let me say what Justin Tucker
Justin Tucker said, making a 55-yard field goal isn't ever easy, especially in Baltimore, in December, in the wind, rain, snow, or whatever. If you're good, you make it look easy.
I don't know about the
yeah,
especially.
JT. But
I don't know especially about. I don't know that I agree, especially Baltimore. I suspect it's harder to make a field goal in Lambeau in late December. But either way, I get the point. And of course, I wasn't insinuating
right.
that they are that somehow the conditions are easier. Although, to the point about Lambeau, it's not like they're playing in mud
right,
and
right,
anything like they are. Now, the surface is a little bit cleaner than what it was even 10 years ago around the NFL, more domes and so on. But I'm not denigrating Justin Tucker, the kickers. In fact, I'm saying the same thing as the NHL. Sometimes certain positions get so good that it makes the rules as they currently stand seem antiquated. Like, the length of NBA players and the quickness of them is so great that it's really hard. You can't really press a team anymore. You know, NHL defensemen skate so well now that it depresses scoring in the NHL. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. It's golf. It's the ball and
right.
it's the club. And now
they've
tried to elongate courses, and now they've run out of real estate. And now they're talking about dialing back the ball. I think Tucker makes a good point, though, is that even though it is becoming more the norm than the exception that people are making 50-yard field goals, I think it's just the way the position has evolved.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know if it makes the game worse, does it? Is that kind of what you're suggesting?
I don't know.
The game's
I think
not
you're
as
the
good.
Yeah, I think to you, who I remember on Super Sunday when
– lamenting.
Yeah, while Super Sunday, you in the third quarter, while most of Football America watched with mouths in joyous agape, tweeted,
this isn't real football.
Is somebody going to ever have to punt here? This is ridiculous. This is a video game. You're Mr. Curmudgeon.
Right.
So obviously you don't love just whatever adds points to the board.
Right.
It just seemed – it wasn't so much me being a curmudgeon, but it was just odd to me. Like, I mean, we've had one punt. Isn't this weird? Isn't it weird that we're watching a Super Bowl?
The way you expressed it was –
one punt was, well, very was, similar to maybe what happened with Dave there.
Right.
It's maybe lost in translation. Get me some Suntory. It was lost in translation.
Well, I agree with you. I think Tucker made a great point, but not as good as
Justin Tucker
at L. Scott 10.
He's not even here. What are you? You another one of these social media white knights? That's what Spaghetti tells me they're called.
Well,
white knights?
Hold on a second.
You
white
often see it with guys step up to defend women a lot. They do the white knight thing, which is noble in broad strokes.
Yeah.
But defending a celebrity / professional athlete, you're what a hero. What
yeah,
a hero.
Well,
you are
that, like El
to
Scott
defend
10.
His honor when I wasn't even intending to insult him.
Now, he is a kicker. All
right.
Right. That's
so,
true.
He maybe needs a bit of backup. But L. Scott 10 says, this guy prob couldn't catch a football, let alone do any actual
yeah.
football activity. All he can do is make cringeworthy, cheesy football segments.
That's true.
Thanks, L. Scott 10.
Agree.
You had to read that, didn't you, Hank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now read them all. That's how they all go. This guy got picked last in dodgeball.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah,
guy's
did.
No. Bet Who's this that? Guy's never watched a football game. That's my favorite one. Do you even watch football?
I don't.
Which I like
don't.
To respond to them. I don't.
I don't.
I don't. Yeah. But I hear good things.
I watch the beautiful game. but I don't watch American football.
I just love it. The phenomenon, the 21st century phenomenon of defending people on social media, and as Spaghetti calls it, the white knight syndrome, is really just fascinating stuff. All heroes don't wear capes, apparently.
Right.
You know? I love it. But I want to get
their thumbs.
MVP behind the glass. Let's get Justin Tucker. Let's reach out to him first.
Okay.
And if he says no, mm-hmm. then we turn to the Hall of Famer himself, the left footer for the Saints and the Falcons, and one of the most delightful personalities
in
pro football. Yeah, really. We should track him down anyway. Morton Anderson.
Yeah, I can get you Morton tomorrow.
Is that right?
We have a good relationship.
We should have dialed up Mort.
Me and Morty.
Morty. We have a great relationship.
Like to tip a
Morty
from
and
time
I,
to time.
I can tell you some stories about Morty.
I have had some great times with Morty myself. Yeah, he's a delightful
fellow. I call him Naughty Morty.
That almost works in your accent.
It does work.
Well, then he brings his accent
right.
to the table.
It wouldn't work if it was Naughty Morty.
Hey, should we talk about football here a little bit? Oh,
right,
money. Before we do,
please.
Let me just go back real quick. Who would win a game between the 19 – this is the conversation that inspired what you heard at the very top of the show about LeBron Michael. Who would win the 92 Dream Team versus the 2018 NBA All-Stars? All things being equal, training, obviously, all that kind of stuff. Who would win that
I'd
game?
Probably go 2018.
Would you?
I think so.
Wow.
Just because a lot of those 92 guys were getting a little old, and I think having to run up and down the court and keep up with that 2018 team, I mean, think about it. You know, I mean, Michael was in his prime, but Magic was on the tail end. Bird
LeBron
was on the
could
tail
check
end.
Jordan. I mean, yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think you had a lot of those guys were
– Or Magic.
Were back-end guys of their careers, not necessarily in their prime, but maybe –
Pippen checks fine. LeBron, right? That would be that yeah. matchup?
Yeah.
I find that an interesting
Yeah, but I think with Durant and Curry and all that shooting, I'm trying to watch the Scorpion. I want to watch the I recorded it
Friends.
Last night and I watched it and I forgot to take it. How long are you on screen for?
We sat in my home and said repeatedly over the course of the hour watching it. What the hell? How much am I in this? I mean, it's crazy.
Really?
It was
So I can't suck back the 15 seconds right now and then we can get into it. Or can I? Is it a full minute?
I mean, in total I would think so. Yeah. In fact, one of our favorite, you know, another producer regularly behind the glass. He's not up here right now. Kent Brown, of course, fellow Pittsburgh native. We love when his mom calls
love.
And leaves a voice message about whatever it is. She usually focuses she keeps her gaze on what's happening in show business, so it's
right.
not surprising that she caught my star turn
of
on
course.
Monday night's CBS episode of Scorpion. By the way, we did a great – really, a lot of great feedback from the showrunner of Scorpion, our pal Nick Santora. We went to his office, me, MVP, and Spaghetti last week. He was delightful, really, legitimately, some funny stuff and some good stuff about the Giants and about the Eagles and about hockey. But also, if you're interested in writing, he actually tries to provide you some tips on how to make that work. I think the secret ingredient is that he happens to be super smart. That's I don't
that helps.
He can impart you with that part of it. But anyway, so
what part of the show are you on?
I mean, man, I'm in a lot of scenes. You
know? Are?
I do some
You're
scene
like sprinkled throughout?
I do some scene work with Kat. Catherine McPhee. Sorry for Catherine McPhee. But Kat and I, yeah, we had a lot of fun working our scene out.
We got Morty and I and Kat and I, two documentaries coming
now,
up this fall.
Now, Emma VP, she has access to this voicemail that Kent Brown's mom left for Kent following my star turn on Scorpion on Monday night. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Kent, I don't know who wrote the lines for him. He was so damn funny announcing that game. It was hysterical. He was making me laugh. Oh, that Damashek. All right, you can call me back. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's great.
I love that one. Hysterical. Dude.
Hey, Kent. That's
dude.
So good.
Dude, hysterical. I love that. That was really nice. He made me laugh. I like the idea that it's the same thing as when you're sick, you announce like, do you have something? Yeah, I think I got a little cough. People have, people talk themselves
often that you say he made me laugh.
He made me laugh.
Like that.
Anyway, yeah, it was
all right, I'll have to watch.
It was weird and embarrassing to watch myself, and I hope I didn't embarrass any of my family or friends.
Let me tell you,
did a great job.
Let me tell you something. As someone who, and this is not a humble brag, this is me just saying it for future reference, as someone who has had the great fortune.
Oh, yeah, you were Nathan for you.
Of Nathan for you, but mostly Family Guy. I have been the voice on a few Family Guy episodes. When they rerun those in primetime, bang, full rate. And it's just a check that comes in the mail, and it just says, like, this episode, primetime. And you're
come
like,
on, reruns.
Bang, yes. Free money in primetime.
By the way, Nick was so good on the DDFP on his appearance last week that we've already decided he's got to come back. We'll kibitz with him some more. He might be.
It's like someone's angling for some more episodes.
Money.
If you know
that's
what
exactly
I mean.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Damn right.
I'll wear it. I don't care. I'll just say it out loud. No. He might be Spaghetti. I mean, not money. He might be more of a New Yorkie sports fan than Eddie Spaghetti.
Come on.
It's pretty good.
Because he's an Islanders fan.
Hold
on. You automatically lost.
But, I mean, his voice quality and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, Eli, I mean, who's Eli? Hey, I was at the Bronx. I was there in 76. I was 78. My cousin and I, we had to sprint to the car when the game ended so we didn't get killed. But it was great.
I felt at home. It was so great being with Nick.
All right.
I hope I'm a little worried that Kent Brown's mom's next voice message may not be quite so.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Handsome, because that's the next subject that we really have to tackle here, and it's not one that
this OB trade nonsense has to stop before I puke all over my desk.
Spaghetti.
That was the one I saw yesterday.
Spaghetti. Yeah, Handsome
Sorry,
is trying
to
bring
it.
Us in. No, Handsome wants to bring in something that's effect. You know, think globally, act locally,
right.
And we want to take action locally about something that's happening here with the podcast producers, and we want to address something coming up this weekend. But first, Spaghetti, let's do it. Let's dip our toes into these free agency waters as they stand here in late March 2018. Yes, Brock Osweiler. I'm guessing he's not. Who Adam Gase wants to see as his starter, so we don't need to indulge that too much.
Let's not talk about that.
What do we think about, as it stands here and now, Eddie Spaghetti? We'll start with you, then we'll talk Ndamukong Suh and the rest. But what do you think, Eddie Spaghetti, about the veracity of these OBJ being dealt rumors?
I'm no longer worried. We're going to be fine. They've said zero trade talks have happened. Gettleman came out today and said that you know, it's good to have talent on your roster. So he's talking about him, and I think they're in the early stages of contract negotiations. So all my woes yesterday being very upset, it's totally gone today. I'm being trolled on Twitter by everyone. Tamposi's trolling me because a certain NFL insider for a four-letter network said that he would not be shocked if he was moved by the draft day, which is a very easy statement to make. I could say I wouldn't be shocked if anything happened, because if you're right, you look smart. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
I mean, it just makes no sense, and maybe they will deal him, and I guess I don't know what the haul is, so I can't really say this 100%.
It wouldn't be enough, whatever it was.
It certainly – well,
what about the DJ? What about the DJ hypothetical that he lobbed out there?
Well,
that's the
Jeremiah.
One.
I asked,
number four and number 33,
right.
Or is it 34? Yeah. 33.
But they both said that the Giants shouldn't do it. They both said that he'll stay. And Bucky on Twitter last night was defending Odell, which is great. But I it's not enough.
What about you, Eddie? What about you? Let's say honestly.
No.
You get Josh Rosen.
No.
And Saquon Barkley.
No. He's one of the few.
Rosen and Saquon.
He means so much to the team. There's not many players that are like him in the entire league. This Eli like split stats with Beckham and without,
they're terrible.
Oh my god!
But this is the wrinkle, and this is why I think I would think long and hard about it.
Mm-hmm.
You still get your impact player immediately in Saquon, and you get your quarterback in the future.
Right.
You get them both. You don't have to pick one or the other. Or if you don't want Saquon, you get Bradley Chubb. You get your dominant defensive end.
Jeremiah said, and obviously this is their busy season, like a tax man. This is they're buzzing about all these draft.
But I believe this would be the only. I think
but
this is the
was,
only deal that might be able.
What
to get
was it
there.
Exactly?
It was Cleveland trades their second first round pick, number four overall, to the Giants, and their top second round pick. So it's 33, I believe,
and four
for OBJ. So you now have picks 2, 4, 33, 34 if you're the Giants.
I don't like that.
Now, I'm not so pretentious. I always say I don't evaluate offensive linemen, especially interior offensive linemen, but everybody's over the moon about Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame at guard. If you do that, plus you just spent on Nate Solder. First of all, just to go back to where we started, I don't think the Giants are going to trade him because why would they if you've already established Eli's our starter for 2018, right, unless you're going to turn around and then split with Eli, which is a possibility, I suppose, here and now. But if the idea is, yeah, we're rolling with Eli in 2018, well, then you're playing to win now. You wouldn't give away his
100% agree.
I mean, you just can't do it.
But they've spent picks the last two drafts
now
on receiving tools for
Eli. I understand. Okay. But
what
you could also do is, with or without Eli, is you could remake what your identity is and go Quentin Nelson with Nate Solder. And I don't know what happens to Eric Flowers. What is the word? Are they going
to move to right tackle? He's too expensive to.
They're
to
just going
to
keep him and move him to right tackle. But anyway, right, yeah. So that line should be better if you get Quentin Nelson. Then you take. If you keep Eli and you take Saquon Barkley.
So there you go. So now you get Nelson, Barkley.
Then I guess you're
at top of the second. You get your receiver.
They're not going full rebuild. They're going retool, and they want to go forward with Eli this year. I've fully accepted that as well. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback at two. I think it's the pick is going to think.
I'm with you. If you're keeping Eli.
And Saquon Barkley will be a Giant.
If your goal is to keep Eli Manning and make a run, if you think your team is viable
for the next 2 to 3
January
years
with Eli Manning, I don't think you would take a QB in that spot.
No, they're not.
That's why I said I think you could position it as
they're not in love with anyone besides
this
Darnold.
Was the luxury. This was the trade we couldn't turn down, because not only can we support Eli right now by drafting Saquon to help him out in the backfield, but we can also take care of our future because we don't ever plan on being in this position again.
Exactly.
To have the ability to take a franchise quarterback like we did with Eli when we traded up to get him at number one because we were at 4, and like we have right now because we're at number 2. We don't ever anticipate being this high in the draft, and this is where you have to get your
franchise. What do you make of what happened on Monday's path to the draft with UCLA, former UCLA head coach Jim Mora sitting there with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, saying when asked, "What do you? Who would you take if you're the Browns number one overall?"
Odd, right?
I thought it was strange.
And he said, Jim Mora, actually, let's play the clip right here.
Coach, sitting at number one overall as it stands right now, heading into April 26th down in Arlington, is the Cleveland Browns. If you're making that choice and you're picking a quarterback and you're deciding between Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, who are you picking?
Oh, nothing like putting me on the spot.
Yeah, no pressure. Yeah,
I'm going to tell you this. Because of fit,
yeah,
I would take Sam Darnold if I were the Cleveland Browns. You know, I think that that blue-collar, gritty attitude, I think his teammates will love him. I think the city will love him. He'll say the right things. He'll come in and he'll represent well. I think he kind of represents what Cleveland is. And then if I was one of the New York teams, I'd take Josh like that. I think they're both going to be great pros.
That makes sense to you guys?
Yeah, I'm on board. Sign me up.
So fit the scheme. Both guys fit those respective spots.
Yes. He goes, this is his college coach saying
grit. He doesn't have the grit that Sam Darnold has. Sam Darnold's got grit. That's the city of Cleveland.
What's behind that? Do you think Jim Mora has some axe to grind with Rosen?
No,
I don't think so.
No, because he then followed it up, you know, with, well, but, you know, Josh, if I'm New York, I run to the podium and take Josh Rosen.
But also, for Cleveland, Darnold may be the better quarterback.
Because why, though?
Because he's bigger, tougher.
Scheme, if we're talking specific X and O scheming and all that kind of stuff, okay. But I'm going to – if we set that aside, and if that's not what Mora was getting at, what it seems like he's talking about, the city will love him because he's got grit, and he defines that blue-collar town. This is one of those tropes that makes me crazy. You know, one of these cliches that makes me crazy is that
somehow the Rust Belt has to take a certain type of player in order to have them succeed and to get behind them. That it's a different type of fan that appreciates.
Yes, that only certain towns, that blue collar towns.
Tom Brady would have never survived in Cleveland.
They really embrace. Yes, that's what I said on Monday. I said, thank goodness then that Cleveland didn't take gunslinger and dynamic Dan Marino out of Pitt. They wouldn't it just wouldn't have worked. They wouldn't. How would Cleveland have responded to someone so dynamic as Dan Marino? Thank goodness that they didn't go down that way. Handsome.
I would agree, right?
It is kind of silly. That said, I think Darnold probably has the arm for the AFC North.
Well, so does Josh Rosen have the arm.
I don't know. Not to the same extent.
I think their arm is similar in terms of strength. You know, Darnold doesn't have an overpowering arm, nor does Josh, but they both can make all the throws. Right. It's a stupid cliche, right? But that's kind of really the case. I mean, Josh Allen's the guy with the freaking hose out there.
Sure.
But I guess as weird as it was the way he described it, I do think it makes sense. I do think Darnold is a better fit in Cleveland. And that Rosen is a better fit, although not really in New York because they're still having offensive line, you know, issues.
I just disagree with that. I think that is us as people who I think that it resonates to the national audience because from the outside looking in, it's an easy thing to put on a provincial town. You know,
if you were the Browns, what quarterback would you take? So let's just put it this way, because Moore is a smart guy. I mean, we've all been around him a lot because we were the UCLA station. We used to talk to him quite a bit, and he's very good at manipulating the media. So what if I plant this? I will suggest that Moore, he doesn't like to be wrong, and perhaps he thinks that Sam Darnold really is the better quarterback, that he's the better overall quarterback, that that's the guy he would rather have, but he can't say that.
Well, what's he thinking
so
now?
So he you know what? I'm just taking Sam because – and he's playing the game. He's playing the trope, the tired cliche that, you know, this is the kind of guy you want in Cleveland. So he doesn't have to say, you know what, I think Darnold's a little bit better. And if I'm picking number one, I want to take the best guy, and Darnold's the best guy.
So you think he's not trying to damn Josh Rosen.
Right, by saying, I think Darnold's the better.
I don't know. I know he's not the UCLA head coach, but I just
– still very close with Rosen's family.
But that's kind of the point, is that
or maybe he knows it's that Josh doesn't want to go to Cleveland
and play. That might be it. But if Darnold and Rosen are close enough in terms of how you regard them, you would think that his college coach would vouch for the one he knows, right? Just seems like a weird.
But see, to me, that's
dig. But that, maybe Handsome's right. Maybe he's just.
And that's total Jim Mora. Like he won't do it. He'll figure out. He wants to be right. He just does. That's the kind. I mean, you heard some of those things that he would say. Remember, he made the comment about the spread, and he got super defensive when people are like, "Well, you know, the NFL are using spread concepts, and you're saying it would never survive." I never said that's what I said. And he starts rattling off position groups. You can go two wide, three wide. You want to run double back? You can run pistol. What are you talking about, Moore? He doesn't like to be wrong. So I almost wonder. I've gone way off track. My bad.
No, I'm fascinated
but
I think
there's more to it than him just saying, hey, this guy's blue collar.
We have to get everybody on record. Money, it's your turn to do it right now. Win, play, show.
Okay.
The quarterbacks, and this is somebody who speaks with a real depth of knowledge about college football and pro football, Matt Money Smith. Win, play, show, the 2018 QBs. How will we, 5 years from now, we'll put this into the time capsule and we'll dig it up then. Who will be regarded win, play, show in quality of pro quarterback?
You got Josh Allen,
you got Lamar Jackson.
Yep. One is Sam Darnold.
He's the best quarterback.
The
Browns hit the payload when they took Sam Darnold back in 2018.
I've been on that since over a year ago when Sam.
I'm with you, but I love Josh Rosen.
Two is Josh Rosen. But see, to me, Josh Rosen is so – like, I think Sam is more – I think Sam Darnold is more scheme and personnel independent. I think Rosen really has to be drafted into a position where he is protected, and he's got a good offensive line in front of him. I don't think the whole – well, he's got to have weapons around – he's not Andy Dalton, okay? He doesn't have to have A.J. Green on one side, and, you know, that's not what he needs. He just needs an O-line that can keep him upright and protect him.
Because otherwise, he might – 5 years from now, you might three years from now, he might be number two.
Right.
5 years from now, he might be out of the league.
Right. So I think he is circumstance dependent. But Rosen would be my number two, and then three, I'd go Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Sort of slipped through the cracks for me a little bit there. I didn't even summon his name. I personally, as a Steelers fan, kind of hoping Lamar Jackson sitting there at 29. I would not mind seeing the Steelers roll the dice on that one a little bit, especially with their two additions to the middle of the defense now at the two back levels there. Man, we got to get Trey Boston on. This safety thing, the weird aversion to free agent
safeties
is unusual. What time do we have, Handsome? Oh, you got a hard out at noon.
I have a hard out at noon.
We have 7 minutes to kibitz here with Handsome Hank. All right, let's get into what you wanted to talk about.
No, I want to talk about this.
I also want to hear what you think about Ndamukong Suh, too.
We've got another show this week.
You're right, but I do want to weigh in on the hot pro football news. But, you know, to the matter at hand, we'll think globally. Let's act locally right now. All the producers, what's going on this weekend now, Spaghetti?
It's not really about me. I want these guys to tell the story. I've just got some questions for them.
Just a weekend getaway to Big Bear Mountain / Lake in Eastern California.
Cool. Who's going?
Eastern.
I've never heard of Eastern California.
You're going in an hour and a half away from L.A.
You're climbing
an elevation.
Yeah, basically. A few of us here at the NFL, some of my college friends, some, you know, people's roommates / boyfriends, significant others.
Did you rent a house?
We did.
Okay.
Emma picked a great house.
How many bedrooms?
I want to say 4 or 5.
But
it seats like 10 plus.
Some people are sharing rooms.
Yes. Probably all of us.
And is this going to be like a blowout party? Or are you guys going snowboarding and skiing?
I would say leans towards more party. I don't do a ski snow activities. No, I could ice skate. I could play hockey. I cannot do skis or snowboard.
Why not?
I tried in high school and I almost killed people. So it was very scary. So I stick with skates. But
you could get into the little chickadee snowboard class there at Big Bear for a couple hours.
I should try, but I like to hike. So we want to hike.
Tommy,
who's the scary man in my snowboard class?
His worldview is he just told on himself. He would have killed other people. It wouldn't have been him who would have taken out. I was going fast.
And I'm bigger.
What about
just little children and stuff.
What about your own mortality? As I go down the slopes, I'm like, I hope I don't die. I'm not worried about anybody else.
No, I was an unstoppable force. I was going.
I see.
I was hauling.
So wait, so you and Emma are going?
Correct.
With your significant others?
Correct. Yes.
Sully's going.
Yes.
Not with a significant other?
No.
But maybe he'll pick one up along the way, if you know what I mean?
Highly likely.
Very likely.
Very
yeah,
likely.
Sully. Yeah.
Kent Brown's going?
Did he not get the invite? Did you guys cut Kent?
What happened?
Why not? Why isn't
you didn't
why
tell him
there
up.
Was a limit on the how many people can go for the house, and it wasn't just my decision.
I don't know why
I'm the spokesperson for this.
Now I see
the real
why
answer,
Handsome
the real,
Hank wanted this
the real
subject
is,
brought up.
Kent is going through a few medical issues, and we didn't want to force him to go there. And like he can't.
Oh, how generous of you!
It's nothing serious. Just
you didn't
like
even.
Some stomach
you didn't even.
Stuff.
You didn't even want to put that
stomachal stuff.
Stomach related stuff.
When you say stomach, everybody's like, "Okay, we're moving past that."
Wait, we don't need any more info. So who else is going?
So your generosity runs so deep that you didn't even want to put Kent into that.
Put him in that bad position.
Then he has
to
say. Yeah, I appreciate the offer, but my belly's no good right now.
It's thing just kind of happened. They were, you know, the pod squad was asking me, Eddie, because I'm always busy on weekends. Like, are you free? I said, I'm finally not
you
booked
were the
up
key
one
to
weekend.
This.
And I said, sure. They said,
Who's this they?
The three others, Sully, MVP, and Erica.
So, wait, you were brought in late to this.
Yes, because I had to make sure I was available. I had to make sure I was available.
So I'm actually the
least amount of fault is me.
So MVP, as the person.
I'm an invitee.
We're assigning fault. The least amount of fault
right.
is me.
Least amount of fault.
Who
so
would you say
second.
Has the most amount of
MVP.
Fault?
MVP.
So you.
I didn't make any decisions.
You're the organizer of this event, right?
No, I'm not. Eddie created the Facebook group. I just have a credit card.
Well, wait a second. This is unusual.
Whose idea
you
was
You guys
it?
Are sitting right next to each other, and you Oop. Have no Tam idea.
Tamposi? Whose idea? I've never been there.
It was Tamposi's idea.
Erica Tamposi.
And Sully's big on like the trout fishing and stuff. They wanted to go to nature, so I said if I'm free, I'll
yeah, well,
go.
Yeah, well, we know Sully, it's the stuff of legend. Right. He wears fishing shirts
vented
that are vented.
He'll be wearing
so
a vented
sweat,
shirt
even though
for
he's
the
not,
whole weekend.
He's not fishing,
right.
which is –
But now he actually will fish in a few days, which is great for him.
Now
catch
wait a
nothing,
second.
By
I don't
way.
Let's. I shame the devil if this gets uncomfortable for you two. But wait, why is Emma VP saying it was Spaghetti and Spaghetti is saying it was Emma VP?
No, it wasn't one person. It was just like the three of them were like, hey, can you come? I'm like, sure. We'll bring the significant others or friends or roommates, what have you. A lot of my friends here like my closest friends from college. So like, okay, we'll bring
it
them.
It is unusual that your friends are that all got lumped in on this thing. That
but
you,
Kent gets cut out.
That you were just right. this passive participant
yeah,
in the thing.
And now,
but
all,
they were requested. They
up.
Were requested because they're always up for whatever.
I
and
see.
They're good people. And
oh, they were up for whatever.
Yeah.
Kent was
about,
not. But,
well,
but,
that's, again, that was, that's on the three others for not – you know, bringing up, you know.
Let's talk about up for whatever, because one of the interesting things, like, this is a nice mix of work friends and then other friends.
Yeah.
There's a hot tub, I understand.
Yes. Yes. Oh. That was a must.
I'm sure. What amount of...
That was a must.
What amount of...
These ladies are going to see me in my trunks if it's the last thing I do.
What amount of nudity is acceptable?
Someone's going to get killed, all right.
Group?
Full nudity. It's a full nude hot tub. That's
right.
What I thought.
What?
That was a joke from nowhere.
Oh.
No, what amount of nudity is acceptable when you have that mix of sort of work colleagues?
That's not awkward at all. I don't
care.
Oh,
is that the stomach problem you're saying? Because Kent's got a belly?
No.
That he would be uncomfortable in the hot tub because
no,
of your physique.
No,
it's
an
actual,
actual thing. That was
boy, that's no. terrible. It was, how not, shallow
first
are you,
all,
Eddie?
Plenty of there's plenty of, you know, plenty of other NFL coworkers we know that are not going. It's not
right. Well, we
not
none of us got
the invite.
Never
got the invite.
Right.
I know my way around Big Bear. I could have really helped y'all out. It's an old stomping ground of mine.
Well, Sully needs a good trout spot.
Not going to tell you now.
It's weird though because you're saying that you guys were like MVP. What you're saying is that you didn't talk to Kent. You didn't even bring this to him,
right?
Because it would have made him feel
uncomfortable to have to make
to have to reject that.
Right.
Is that right?
Sure.
You know, yeah. Yep.
Well.
Yepers.
Look, we have a group. We hang out a lot. It's just like
Kent doesn't hang. You guys never invite Kent out to anything.
We do. No. He's been to plenty of happy hours and to.
You just don't want to spend 3 days with him.
It's weird that you.
You're willing to spend like a 2 hour happy
hour.
How
we're saying he just can't. He can't partake in some of our activities.
Can I ask a question? And I want you to be direct with me here,
yes.
Eddie.
Yes.
Too many sports hypotheticals.
I don't.
Does he just spit
them
out too? Does he spit them out too rapid fire?
For me, I can handle it. I'm not sure about everyone else.
Asking the Emma. Too many sports hypotheticals from Kent dominate the conversation.
No, they're really great. I love hearing them and answering the questions.
It's unusual. I don't know that we've gotten to the bottom.
I don't
of
think
this.
We have either. I want to talk more about.
It's unusual because it seems like the two stories that we've heard just don't line up.
No, they don't add up at all.
They can't both be true. Right. The way they've been.
Does Kent know you're going?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Well, thanks to the person sitting in the middle.
Yeah, I made him aware of it yesterday.
Oh, how was that?
It was great.
I figured there are some things that we should.
I think it's cool, handsome. I know that that's not an easy position to take, but you did it. You stepped up. You know what?
Well,
I admire you.
Imagine if he found out via Twitter on Saturday.
Exactly.
Hey, look at my friends. Whoa, they all seem to be together. I remember we went on a happy hour 10 days ago. It's the entire same group except for me. How would you rather find out?
That's right.
Well, personally, I'm glad you told him because now we have 3 uncomfortable days at work before they push off.
That's why I'm glad I told
him.
About
handsome, I admire it. He could have just taken the off ramp there and gone around it for a nice casual drive, but instead he drove head on.
I could have picked up the signals that Emma and Eddie were giving me yesterday afternoon when we were having this conversation.
You said that's not who you are.
Quiet when Kent was coming, but no, I was like, I'm going to be true to myself.
I drive down the wrong side of the road. That's how my people do it. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Apparently.
That's outrage.
I feel like my work here is done, and therefore I'm going to leave.
Okay.
All right.
But we should continue to conversate.
Sure. Whatever you'd like.
We're certainly going to have to check in and see.
Where is Kent? Can we get him on? Can we get him in here?
We better talk to Kent.
Send him a text.
Tied up.
Might be editing.
Yeah, he's busy.
Yeah, that was
all right. Well, we'll talk to him then. I guess we have another show coming up here. We'll get to the bottom of it. Uncomfortable though. Money. Well, let's talk about two people from Los Angeles who are going to be paired together and are excited about some of the parts. You know, makes us all greater. Apparently, that's not the case with the podcast gang here at the DDFP.
They play favorites, man.
But either way, the LA Rams look like they're on to something special. How say you? How confident are you? Right out of the gate, completely unfair, Matt Money Smith. How confident are you that the LA Rams, let's start here, win the NFC West?
Very.
1 to 10.
9.
Yeah. Barring injury
or a complete combustible locker room situation that there's just too much personality in Talib and Peters and Sue, and it just overwhelms. But I don't think that'll happen. That's why I'll put it at 9. I just don't. I thought the Niners maybe would get a little bit more done this offseason free agency wise than they did.
They still don't really have a high-end pass catcher.
No, and they had, you know, $100 million in cap space. So I thought maybe that
and they
would
lose Hyde, which I don't. I mean,
and they bring in McKinnon and
the ongoing sort of meh reaction to Carlos Hyde. I know he's injury prone, but Jerick McKinnon versus Carlos Hyde, both healthy. It's not much of a debate for me.
So, by the way, 9 out of 10.
Who's the last place team in 2018 in that division?
Boy, tough, right?
I mean, if it's the Seahawks, what a fall. And it really could be.
It looks like it's going to be the Seahawks.
Who's going to be there? It's going to be Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, and that's it. And a bunch of people you never heard of.
If Mike Glennon ends up being your quarterback, because we do not project Sam Bradford ever to play 16 games in a season, right?
I guess that's true.
It would be able to.
It's funny that I've been that I have fallen into that trap. I'm like, well, Sam Bradford's their QB. Oh, yeah, right. He gets hurt after a quarter.
It's not going to happen. So, yeah.
Are they your NFC favorite at this point to go to Super Bowl 53?
I don't think so.
No.
No. I think I still have faith in the Eagles. And I know it's rare for a team to repeat, but they really didn't lose much, if anything.
What about that insane rotation that they've somehow improved upon?
On the defensive line.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. So I'd still give the nod. And, you know, remember the Vikings. You know, all they did was upgrade their QB. And keep pretty much everybody else. So,
and I also like Mike Wallace by a whisker over
Torrey.
Point, I think by a hair. Not that that's a major element, but I do.
So
like
I just think I think they're in that mix. And plus, I keep saying it. If you tell me Aaron Rodgers is on the field, it's hard for me not to go with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
It's not easy for you to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to give him the NFC.
But by the way, those poor people up in Green Bay, I mean, they're blue-collar town. What do they do with having to watch the dynamic Aaron Rodgers? Those are, you know, thoughts and prayers to those
bad
people.
Bad fit, man.
How are they to enjoy somebody like that?
Fit. California kid. Does the commercials, dates celebrities.
Super smart guy, gunslinger type, you know, really, you know, he's spectacular. You know, I feel bad. Yeah. You know, hang in there, Patrick.
They deserve better.
One more thing, Money, because, you know, we appreciate you coming in here, you know, in the off season. You're not here all that often, so we like to capitalize on that. Real quick, let's start something that Spaghetti and I were yapping about. I mentioned all those brackets that are out there. You know, the tournament's more or less over now, or a couple more games away from being over, but that doesn't mean we can't do one in April. I think we should do this one. The best parties, the party that you most wish you could attend in movie history.
The party which I wish I okay.
Let me throw a couple out at
you. Okay.
I think the most obvious one is the opening scene in The Godfather, the wedding. That would be a fun party to be.
I'd be on edge.
I'd
be on edge. I'd be on edge. What if I get too drunk and I get loose at my lips?
I can't be comfortable.
Are. Yeah, I it's know where I'm at.
It's the same thing, the opening scene in Godfather 2, the party in Tahoe.
Yes.
Same thing. You would be lucid about who you're
I would not imbibe as much as I might like and cut loose as much as I'd like because I'd be nervous.
Great point. See?
I'd be nervous.
See, we've come to the right place here, Spaghetti.
I'd feel at home in those two parties.
I got a couple uncles who were tied in.
See, for me, it's probably a little bit of nostalgia because I don't think kids party anymore like we used to. Where when I grew up, and here's your lovely anecdote, right? On the south side of Chicago, for whatever reason, there were just a lot of forests and a lot of woods. And we would, you know, somebody would get the kegs and you would push them into the woods and you would find this clearing and everyone would hang out.
You have my number one. Right there.
So Dazed and Confused.
That's it.
The beer
that
bust.
Money Smith.
Right? The beer bust.
I think that one's going to be very difficult to beat. I think that's a number one seed at minimum. If we actually build some sort of a bracket here, and by the way, drop us a line with the hashtag DDFP and let us know your vote, and we'll see. Well, what should we aspire to? 32? Is that a reasonable number
that's
to get
fine.
To?
That's fine. As many tweets as we get.
If we get more that are viable options.
And then I'll seed them one to, you know, whatever. Like, I'll do brackets.
You will.
Well, I mean, I'll do the dirty work for you if you need.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help you. Did the dirty work for MVP through
Eddie
under
Spaghetti,
the bus with
though, Kent. Yeah, I was gonna say, Eddie Spaghetti's seedings will be indiscriminate as long as Kent Brown's not there. It makes the list apparently.
How about this as a one seed? Ready? I got another one seed.
All right.
Back to school. Blow out the walls of the
dorm.
And you got Oingo Boingo playing, for
Oingo
God's sakes.
Oingo Boingo, the
in the
hot
dorms.
Tub.
In a hot tub.
And why does that kid, the Dangerfield son in that boy, has
Jason
gotta be
Mellon.
The all-time curmudgeon. He doesn't. His old man shows up and says, "Hey, I can have Vonnegut write your term paper for you." He's like, "No, I want to do it myself."
Right.
What 20-year-old kid in the
None.
History Once of people would ever be like, "No, no, no.
Right.
I have to earn it."
Ones that wear crew neck sweaters around a sunny campus. That's
this
it.
Sourpuss, always just so put out by his old man, his millionaire old man, tripping the light fantastic for him, making college as much fun as you could possibly. That's a great call. I love the party with the Oingo Boingo. They play. It's a dead man's
party
there, right?
Yeah, I think. And then Weird Science got a little sideways because of the freaks that came in from the netherworld.
There are a lot of high school parties and
the John Hughes film, 16 Candles.
But are those? Know, I think the 16 Candles party.
That's
at
a good
Jake's
one.
House.
Yes, at
Jake's
house
is awesome.
That's a good one.
But are we then? I think we have to. If we're going to indulge this, do we then get to be the age we want to be?
Yes.
Because
I'm not going to be an old man at a high school party.
You and me walk into Jake's house, yeah, and be like, hey, the cops are here.
Right.
You know?
Who's dad? Hey, who's getting picked up? Who's dad's picking them up?
Over.
Right. Same with Can't Hardly Wait if you want to get a little more modern. That's a great one at the house.
Project X.
I don't know Project X.
It's like about a
apparently
part,
Kimmel
about a
was in this movie.
Yes, Project X was it's just about that
it's a,
party.
It's about a party. Yeah. It's like Superbad, but if they only focus on the party.
Oh, there's
out
a good
all,
one. Superbad
all,
party.
And took out all the humor.
The Superbad. But I think that should be a whole region unto itself. High school parties.
Right. Yeah.
Right. How about what the opening party? I know it's easy to make to have a laugh at the expense of the Tri-Lams and the Omega Moos, but I think that the
Nerds.
Opening party, the Alpha yeah. Beta party. That starts Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, that's where I want to be. I wouldn't be cool enough to get in, but Stan Gable and company, I mean.
I got your other one seed, by the way. Animal House.
Yes, of course. The Toga Party is definitely.
No brainer.
Old
Toga
school?
Party is definitely a one seed.
Old school with Snoop.
Good. Old school, very good.
That's the other thing, too, is the movies that get the performer, you know, and they're not, they are who they are, but they're not. Like, in the movie, it's just like, oh, yeah, look who we got to play our party. Isn't this great? Snoop's here. Because it's our college party, and he's just going to kind of get up here and hang out.
That's another list or bracket or whatever for another time, but we did talk about that with Bald Brian from the Corolla Show when he came in here a couple weeks ago. That's another great one, is the best songs performed, the best songs in movies.
But not just played in the movie, but performed live in the movie?
Songs that are unique to the movie, like Say Anything, John Cusack.
In Your Eyes?
No.
Or no?
That's a real song by the real Peter Gabriel. This would be her singing like the
Joe lies
when he cries.
Never go back. I'll
never
go back.
I got
you.
And don't you even think it.
Yes, that is a great one.
That's a great one.
Yes.
Huey Lewis is not Huey Lewis at the start of Back to the Future. I forget what his band's name is. Bald Brian did know. And that's a song that's unique to the movie.
To the movie.
So we could think about that list. But anyway, yes. I was thinking about another one, too. In the because I see all the animated movies. The party in, if you know this one, it's a bit of a deep dive, but in Tangled, the Rapunzel story that came out about a decade ago, in the middle of that, she and Ryder land in the village where she is the princess, but she doesn't know she's the princess. But it's a day to beat the band. It's wine, and it's guys playing on their fiddles and dancing and... Goodness,
it reminds me of Lord of the Rings.
Feasts and such, yes.
Lord of the Rings.
It seems just great. Oh! I said feast, and it reminded me of one.
The Red Wedding.
No. See, now that's a different.
That's a party we don't want to be in.
In Italy. In Sicily, Pacino, Michael Corleone's wedding. I want to be at the wedding to the Italian girl. I want to be at that long table drinking wine all day, eating the Italian meats and cheeses.
Again, just too on edge, man. Too nervous.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Don't look at anybody.
MVP. Your thoughts.
I got to think about some more.
Did we take them all?
You took some good ones, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about it.
There got to be some. There got to be plenty of good ones. Great call.
I'll tell you one that
back to school
that I wouldn't want. That I think a lot of your folks on the Twitter are gonna suggest. Eyes wide shut. You know, I know it's a lot of people getting frisky, a lot of things going on, but I don't know if I want to be around those kind of weirdo type. You know.
Ding.
Like you think, hey, this is going to be great. We're gonna get a little crazy.
All
here,
the nudity,
right?
With the masks, the wrinkly octogenarian millionaire men who have disguised themselves with the beauties, all organized there. I'm with you on that.
You think you might lie, but no, not probably ends up bad.
You know the party I do want to go to though, and it legitimately makes a list. Eyes wide shut, the Christmas party.
There you go.
That Cruz and Kidman attend.
Right.
And she almost makes time with the elegant old continental guy, and he almost makes time with the two women, that's a fun party.
Yeah, but it's not.
Everyone's
end well.
Letting their hair down, but it's elegant, and the lighting is gorgeous. Oh, it's the best, and you know who knows what people are swapping this and that.
How about that Temple of Doom party? With the bugs and everything, you know.
No, I don't want. Why do I want to eat brains? Monkey brains,
right?
I don't want to eat them.
Worst party ever.
Yeah,
worst party ever.
Yeah, I get up and leave. All right, well, now you guys are just trying to be weird with your foods.
I'm done.
I have too much self respect here. All right, listen. I think we're off and running now. I think we're heading in a good direction.
Do the dirty work, Eddie.
Spaghetti, you writing all those down?
Yeah, I have them all, and I will go back and I have the audio anyway. Just to be clear for the Twitter users.
What about
users,
the party at the bar after they make the big heist in Goodfellas? And everybody's walking in with the fur coats.
Right,
and
having a good time. Again, see, it's the same thing.
That's what I was going to ask.
I don't want to be around those
folks.
What
classifies a party?
Like, I don't know. Good times.
Hey, okay. You know,
wherever Kent Brown ain't.
All right, this
no, that's how you guys classify a party.
Not me.
Jerks.
The other 75% of the group, outside of me.
What about boogie nights with the little lady fingers? They're lighting the firecrackers. How awkward was that?
Oh, the pool party?
No, the one in the apartment where the guy keeps lighting the firecrackers.
With Melina playing what's the song that they have playing?
I can't remember.
Ranger. They're playing Night Ranger.
Night Ranger, Sister Christian.
Sister
exactly.
Christian is playing.
Exactly.
No, I want to be at the pool party.
There
though.
You go.
And you're also, for Twitter users, you're also like, you're not the character. You're just like with the characters in the movie.
Right.
That's I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to be me at
but
my
you fit
age.
Right in. Yeah, okay. Age appropriate.
No one is, no one's turning. Yeah, the music doesn't, like, there's not a record scratch that announces your arrival.
Okay,
or anything like that. You're just
you seem
you get to hang
hitting.
Out. Nobody.
So you're
it
there
out.
With like Michael Corleone and Lake Tahoe. That's basically what you're saying. Like he's also there.
You're an extra.
Well, no, he's the same age.
I'm saying I'm hanging out at the party.
At that
that's
point,
it. I'm having a good time.
But people are gonna want to know if the characters in the movie are there. Like they're still part of it, right? You're not. You're just with them.
Well, what the hell? Why would we be there?
Because people are gonna ask. Because people are gonna be like, am I the character? Or is it just like?
No, you just get to go to that party. You get to go to that.
You get to go to the party, and you are not. There's nothing about you that makes people
you
turn
seamlessly
against you. Just blend in nicely.
Just getting ahead of the Twitter questions.
All right. Yes, you're afforded all. Oh! Bachelor party.
Yes. Hotel.
I mean, the craziest party of all time.
Freaking horse.
They're not. That's. I was going to say it's a donkey, but you're right. It's actually a horse.
It's a horse. Yes.
Who ODs. There's a horse that ODs in that movie. Could you do any better?
Done and done.
You have someone antagonizing the party throughout.
Right.
How great is it to have a villain at the party?
Very rare.
This is an exciting list. I like this one quite a bit. I think we're off and running.
Ooh, how about the Christmas party in Die Hard? Now that, that's probably not one you want to be.
I'll tell you where I more food. Big night.
Big night?
I want to be at the feast party where Louis Prima is supposed to show up. I want to be eating that, what's it called? The tampany? That thing he makes? They makes that like.
I don't know.
Italian food bread thing, and he cuts it in half. It's got all the meats and cheeses in it. Oh, that alone.
We kind of know where Dave is. Dave's like really into the food that's being served, and I'm just thinking about the blowout nature of the bash.
A lot of beautiful women there. I'm interested, but wait,
the meat.
Back to the one
it's
with the
bread, and
with
it's
the
got
meat
the meat,
pot.
And you slice it.
He's willing to bump shoulders with a crime boss just to steal his brujou and soprasat and all
brujou,
that.
That's right. He's going to take the brujou.
I'm not even Italian either, and I can still do that.
Brujou.
Your last name's Spaghetti. Sounds Italian to me.
Spaghetti, the fettuccine. All right, that's enough, right?
Let's
should we
got it started.
Goodbye? Should we say goodbye to Matt Money Smith here and hello to a middle linebacker, an inside linebacker who is whose profile is gaining steam? And I described him, somebody from Boise tweeted at me about Leighton Van Der Esch, and I said back and that he, and I think you'll hear this, he has a casual lucidity about him. He knows who he is as a football player. He knows what he's good at. At 21, he seems in command of himself. You'll hear here, we give him some business, but he just rolls with it. He just seems like has an easy likability about him. Let's get to it here. Boise State star Leighton Van Der Esch, and as you'll hear in just a minute, a surprise appearance from his girlfriend as well. Matt Money Smith, great stuff as always. Oh, Game Theory and Money is the other show you can hear.
We're doing one this week.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Make sure you track him and Cindy down doing that one on iTunes or at NFL.com/podcasts. Thanks for coming in, Matt Money Smith. Make sure you listen to the Petros and Money show if you want to be hip and now. And now, let's get to Van Der Esch. All right, here we go, rolling through the free agency stuff, and the draft is drawing ever closer. And seated to my immediate left, a guy whose name figures to go in the first round from Boise State, Leighton Van Der Esch. How are you, fella?
Doing awesome.
Yeah. I like, right out of the gate, I can tell you're in the draft process here because you've matched many shades of blue here today. Not that your eyes match the turf of Boise State and the suit and the tie that you're wearing.
Yep. I mean, blue's been a big part of it, and I feel like I just got to stick with it.
I guess at this point, yeah, it would be crazy not to. I apologize on behalf of Southern California that it's raining when you arrive here. We didn't put our best foot forward for you. Now, we were talking as you sat down here, you are planning on being in Dallas, Texas for that draft, right? Mm-hmm. And who's going to be at the big table with you? Your family gained some fame pre-bowl game for you this past season?
Yep. Well, my parents are going to be there at the table, and my three older sisters, and my girlfriend and her parents, and my coach, and my high school coach, and then Avalos, and I think my high school coach's wife.
That's awesome. I love that. So no agent or anything like that?
Oh, Ron will be there, yeah.
Oh, Ron will be there, too.
Yep. Yeah.
This is a mistake you wouldn't be the first to do it. Mm-hmm. But very often that phone rings and you pick it up and this is head coach Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. By the way, does that strike your fancy when you hear the talk about the Steelers being interested in you?
I think it'd be awesome.
It would be good.
I mean, I'm ready to go wherever
you don't care.
Picks me.
I see. You've worked this out. You can't take the bait. You can say, yeah, I'd be happy in Pittsburgh. You know what? There are 31 other NFL cities I'd be happy in as well.
Yep.
You got that down.
Oh yeah.
Let's test this out here. I want to see. You know, you've gone through the combine. I don't know if you've heard what the professionals think of you, the scouts. They've evaluated you. Have you gone through what they perceive to be your strengths and weaknesses?
Probably my range tends to be the normal pop-up for my strength. And I mean, my play recognition, just diagnosing the play and just covering the whole field, just my length and athleticism.
Huh, look who thinks a lot of himself. No, that's what they think of you. No, yeah, they say you're big, long, and athletic. Yes, you tend to step up in the big games, too.
Yep.
That's another one for you. Weaknesses, has just 1 year of starting experience, still filling out his frame, tends to get choked up reading Nicholas Sparks novels. Is that true?
I don't even know who Nicholas Sparks is.
Oh, I see. I get it now. Well played. Yo, I don't even know what that's even about. Let's keep going through some of this. Hasn't learned to use hands effectively to punch and separate. True or false?
I mean, I could see how they could say that. But, I mean, there's always room for development, I feel like, with every player in strike and escape. Players can always work on defeating blocks and doing that.
Takes himself out of tackle opportunities by attacking ISO blocks.
Yes and no. I mean, you got to defeat the block before you can make the tackle.
Wears a bathing suit in the shower. I couldn't get through that one. I'm sorry. That would have been good if I blew the joke. That would have been funny, right?
Yeah.
But that is what it says there. Somebody up. No, they didn't.
You put that there?
I maybe put that one there. I don't know why such sophomore jokes crack me up. But anyway, hey, well, speaking of bad things, did you get any of those weird questions you always hear about, like the guys at the combine, weirdest questions from teams? What were the weirdest?
There was one interview. I got like a whole truckload of them, it seemed like.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I walked in there. I didn't even really. They just told
me. Don't tell me the team, because that's not taboo. Then that'll be a strike against you.
I'm not going to tell you the team. But, I mean, I walked in and.
It was the Browns?
Nope.
No, okay.
No. I walked in there, and instead of shaking everybody's hands and introducing yourself and everything and getting settled in a little bit, they just told me to just sit. They had one chair in the middle of the room. They said, sit down. That's pretty much all. Just sit down right now.
Like, sounds like the beginning of one of the Bourne movies or something.
It was weird. But, I mean, I sat down, and everybody was around me in a circle, and I was sitting there waiting for it to start, and then like everybody got quiet, and the one guy just started firing questions at me.
Like you're playing duck, duck, goose or something. Weird.
But I was in the middle of the circle, like in the middle.
Bizarre.
I wasn't part of the circle. So he told me four words. I had to remember those four words for the whole meeting, and then he told me to start at 100 and subtract 2, 4, 2, 4, 2, 4, like as fast as I could go in the amount of time I was given.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then there was the rest of the questions. It was just a bunch of weird questions. I mean, I got one that said, I have a bottle and there's a quarter in the bottle and there's a cork in the top. How do you get the quarter out? And I said to squeeze the bottle so it pops the cork out. And I thought I was right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I got this one. And he was like a glass bottle, like looked at me like I was dumb or something.
It seems like you just figured it out.
And I was like, okay. I sat there for like 10, 15 seconds and I had no clue. And I just told him, I was like, I don't know.
I would think a football coach would like if you said, like, I just bite the bottle in half, you know?
They said I couldn't break the bottle.
Oh, you can't break it.
Yeah.
And so what's the correct answer to this? I don't know.
I didn't know. And when you get questions wrong, they don't tell you the right answer. They just go to the next question. So I was thinking about that one for, like, forever afterwards. So I messaged a bunch of my friends, and they were like, they looked it up and said you're supposed to push the cork into the bottle.
Oh, that makes sense. That's clever.
Yeah, I guess. That made me mad, but
you got upset with them on that one. I am fat. What a weird. I mean, it really is like some CIA interview thing. They sat in a circle around you.
Yep.
You should have just gotten up and been like, "I'm not into this guy. Sorry." You know, pass. Don't bother with me. Here's came up with a couple other weird questions for you. Would you, if the Super Bowl crown were on the title, would you tackle your mom at the goal line if she were the ball carrier? Would you be willing to do that if it meant Super Bowl glory?
That's a tough question.
Well, come on now.
Do I have to answer it?
Well, I mean, I'd like you to. If you want to be a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're going to answer this question.
I would probably tackle her softly.
That's good. You'd hold her up. Yeah. You don't have to. You're aware of, just like they say, know who you're throwing the ball to, know who you're tackling. You don't have to devastate mom.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to stop her from the end zone. That's all.
Yep.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails, and why?
So when I was young, we were playing this game. I mean, I think it was a junior high. I was calling the toss almost every single time, and all my buddies were telling me to go tails, tails, tails. And for some reason, I kept picking heads every game, it seemed like. And, I mean, we won, like, maybe one out of all the tosses. But so I was like, all right, well, from now on, I'm picking tails. And, I mean, it's treated me really well. But this year, calling the toss for the games this year, I called tails every single time, and we won. I don't even know if we won a toss the whole entire year.
Well, wait a second. So then why are you going tails? Because now it's
going to turn out soon.
It's going to turn around. That says that you're optimistic. That's funny, because I always say go heads. I think if you are predisposed to say heads, that means that you have a sunny view of the world. Like everything's going to come heads up. Everything's going to make sense the way it should. If you go tails, you're cynical. It says like things come up backwards the way you expect them to. Do you see? Don't you see the powerful message that you could send?
Yeah.
Now, this is very weird that you – I guess that says something about your resiliency, though, right? That you, like, I'm sticking with tails, or shame the devil. It's eventually going to go my way.
I mean, to me, it didn't matter whether we were starting with the ball or not. It was like I wanted to be out on the field first, so I wanted to be on defense. And, I mean, I was calling tails, so I was hoping it was going to be tails, but.
All right. Well, we park our cars in different garages on different ones on that. Any truth to these rumors about you wearing a bathing suit when you shower?
You're going to keep going back to that?
That's what I heard. That's what people have been saying. People have been saying it.
Who?
Well, I said it like 3 minutes ago.
You?
I started to laugh when I did.
The only one?
Yeah. So that's I'm the only one. So yeah, no. Nope. So you're just discounting that as a rumor, rejecting it
completely
out of hand. Hey, let's do this. Real quick, before we let you go, I want to – this is an important – this is the biggest draft day thing. Is your girlfriend free to come in? Is she willing to come in? Eddie Spaghetti, if you would come in, I'd like you to play the agent. All right. And here, let's pretend that – hello, I'm Dave. Congratulations in advance. It sounds like you guys are going to have a good time in Dallas, Texas. Will you go stand at his side, and Spaghetti, you stand on the other side? And let's say I'm Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers calling you. You just answer the phone, and then I want to see how this plays out here. Like, bring, bring. See, right out of the gate, don't answer the first ring. That shows you're desperate. No.
Oh.
Be playing it cool. Like, hey, it's just the 29th pick. I got nowhere to be. You know, I'm having a good time here. But bring, bring. All right, now you're getting rude. All right,
I'll pick it up. Okay, answer. Hello?
Yes, is this Layton?
Yes, sir.
Layton? This is head coach Mike Tomlin from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Son, how do you feel about being a Pittsburgh Steeler?
I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
I mean, could be a little more excited. Now we just got drafted into the NFL, and you're like, oh, you know. Like I just asked if you want me to pick you up a shake at the drive-thru. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'll have one, I guess. If you're getting yourself one, yeah, give me one too. Let's try that again. Like, how do you feel about being a Pittsburgh Steeler, son?
Well, it's awesome. It means the most to me.
We're gonna have our people get in touch with you to square you away. We're gonna see you up here on the banks of the Three Rivers tomorrow. Have a great time. Celebrate tonight, and we look forward to getting you into camp and putting you into that black and gold jersey. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank
you. All right. Now you hang up. All right. Now what happens? Go. Let's just watch this on video. I'll describe the action for the listener. Go ahead. Layton just got drafted. First round. Dream come true. He's going to play NFL football. What do you do? Now, all right, your girlfriend is to your left. Your agent is to your right. What are you going to do? What's the right move? What's the correct move? Girlfriend?
Probably hug and kiss my girlfriend.
That's right. Go ahead. Hug her now. Dude, like, you don't have to do the whole thing. You know, we're G-rated, but, you know, like, just – and the arms are – there you go. We did it. That's right. Now, even a kiss. That's nice. That's nice. I love it because this is an important thing. I want you to remember this. So often these guys, they turn to their agent. Their agent. They have family and they have loved ones, significant others, and you're hugging the agent? What's wrong with you? That sends a weird message to the fan base.
I mean, are you saying I shouldn't do that?
No, you should hug your loved ones. Your agent, you'll get there.
No, you're saying I shouldn't go to him.
I don't want you talking. I mean, your agent will glad hand with you. He's in it. Like, he wants to make some scoots. Your girlfriend and your family, they've been with you through thick and thin. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good. See, we're making some headway now. Yeah. It's not all just about what happens between the lines, Layton, you know, or in the shower.
I'm not very good at being put on the spot.
Layton, what? I think this has been great fun. Layton, what number are you going to wear in the NFL?
138.
You're not going to be allowed to wear 38, are you? What are we going to do about that? If you go to Pittsburgh, we're going to have to talk again. Because if you go to the Steelers, well, that's Bud Dupree. See? We're going to have to figure that part out, though. And I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. Maddie, I'm sorry. I should be able to remember that one. What's the plan otherwise in Dallas? Tripping the light fantastic the night before? You're going to take it easy on the eve of the draft and then celebrate the night after, the night of the draft? How do you expect that to go?
I think we're on a pretty tight schedule as far as the red carpet and
Oh, I'll see you on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Who are you going to be wearing? Oh, I forgot to give you a microphone, Maddie. I'm sorry about that. Who are you going to be wearing, Layton?
Who am I going to be wearing?
Yeah, that's a question you better get accustomed to, man. That's what they ask on red carpets. It means, like, who made your suit for you?
Oh, Elevate.
Elevate.
Yep.
Okay. And do you know, Maddie, what you're going to be wearing already? You've already selected it?
No, I'm waiting on him to figure out his colors.
But are you going to suit and tie it?
Oh, yeah.
I think they maybe want to make a fun statement like Zeke Elliott made. Remember when he wore the belly shirt? Think any thought about that, Layton?
I don't know if I'll do that, but...
Maybe your legendary bathing suit?
Maybe. Maybe wear it underneath.
It'll be our inside joke that no one will get. That's all right, listen. Layton, I want you to enjoy these next few weeks. It must be, I've been in the position in my life a couple of times, and I'm sure you're basking in this moment as well for Layton, legitimately, that I've been in that moment where I know I'm leaving a job, but I haven't left yet. And that's the sweet spot of life, is knowing, like, well, I'm leaving here anyway. None of it matters that much. It's all good news in the future. Mm-hmm. That's where you must be right now. Are you on top of the world right now, knowing, like, listen, what's done is done. The hard work is all done. Now it's about getting drafted and then getting back to work.
No. I mean, I still got to stay. I'm still working every single day. I mean, staying in shape, working out as best I can. I mean, with a busy schedule, I mean, the work's not over. The work is just beginning. So, I mean, that's the mindset that I have. That's the mindset I'm always going to have. There's always room for improvement, and it's never over.
Maddie, does he have weird dietary restrictions? A lot of NFL guys do. I feel bad for them when they do.
He did when he was training in Arizona pretty good, but when he got back, we ate a lot of panda. So,
will you make him now at the night of the draft, and then ever after that, will you be like, well, of course, this is on you. You're an NFL football player, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's how it's going to go?
Yep.
I hear about that. That seems crazy. Are you ready for that bit where, like, the veterans are like, hey, Rook.
Yeah.
Carry my bag and all that jazz.
You got to do what you got to do.
I suppose so. Well, listen, I can tell you this. As a diehard Steelers fan, it would be great to see you arrive on the banks of the Three Rivers. Either way, good luck to you. And you're a delightful guy with a delightful girlfriend and the family that we got to meet in front of the bowl game. Rooting for you. We look forward to seeing everybody at Dallas at the big circular table. Can I sit down with you for a few minutes?
Yeah.
Can I?
Go for it.
Can I maybe, like, what if it's right as they draft and I sneak in, like, between you and your agent? And he'll get really mad.
He would probably deal with that.
He'd get mad if it's like, hey, why are you shaking Dave's hand before mine, kind of thing, right? I don't know. All right, listen, what do you think of the blue turf, Maddie?
I love it.
Do you really?
I've probably been a bigger Boise State fan than him my whole life.
Did you go there? Or are you going there?
I didn't. I just grew up being a pretty big Boise State fan.
Really?
Little.
Is that the way it is in Idaho? That's the what's the local what's the most popular? Let me guess. It would be the most popular NFL team would be the Broncos.
Half and half. It's like half and half between the Seahawks and Denver.
Oh, I guess you're pretty close to Washington State as well. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, listen. Have a great time in Dallas. Have a great time wherever you wind up. It's all. I mean, 2018 should be a grand year for you with everything that's coming your way. Like I say, enjoy it. And there he is, everybody. Layton Vander Esch and Maddie and the whole gang at a big circular table coming to you from Dallas, Texas next month. Thanks, Layton.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave. All right, good stuff from Vander Esch. Thanks to Matt Money Smith for coming in, to Handsome Hank. Make sure you drop us a line, why don't you? And hashtag DDFP. Let us know the movie party you most wish you could attend. And the Red Wedding would be weird. Although, I mean, I guess if you're not in that one family, you were in the clear, so it might have been a fun time. I don't know. Anywho, we'll talk to you later in the week. Till then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.